Welcome to the Gals Guide podcast. Join us on an adventure to get to know famous and infamous women from around the world. Each of our presenters has a pick. Is she ancient history? Is she breaking news? Is she safe for work? Well, that's up to each presenter. All we know is that...
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Welcome back. I'm Lori, and I'm joined by Riwoo, Bonnie, and Katie, sharing our Irish gal pick. Bonnie's already told us about Lillian Bland, and Kate just told us about Bernadette Devlin. And before I jump into my gal, I wanted to ask everybody a question. Have you listened to Irish music, and what are some of your favorite artists? Let's start with Riwoo.
I was going to say, she has a list.
I have a list this time, because okay. I feel like I failed it last time, so therefore I needed to prep myself. Yes, I do. My husband listens to a lot more of old traditional, you know, Celtic, like Clannad and things like that. My closest is Enya. I will get into Enya. I need that little bit of pop sensibility. I really do. So while he's playing all of traditionalness, I am either playing drunk tunes or the Pogues. So the Pogues is one of my favorite, especially Fairy Tale and the Drunk Tank. I play every Christmas. I don't celebrate Christmas, but I play Fairy Tale in New York every single Christmas. Also, one of their favorites is, and the band played Waltzing Matilda, which is about Australia. So it ties into January when we did Australia Month. It's, if you haven't heard that song, I'll put it in the show notes. It's like freaking amazing. Also, the Cranberries were huge. Ooh. I feel like some days I still have the Cranberries haircut. I brought in her photo many times to a salon and said that. And then I didn't realize, I listened to Emile de May. She kind of does this jazz, kind of hillbilly rock and roll. I did not realize that she is Irish. When she sings, you have no idea. But Emile de May is an amazing musician is kicking it right now that I adore and encourage. That was my list this time, guys.
I love it. Although you stole mine.
Oh, which one was it?
I was going to say the Cranberries.
Oh, well, what do you love about the Cranberries? Angst. Yes, it is good,
yes,
isn't it?
I know. Just keeps me at that low level.
See?
Depression I like to function at.
Do you try to sing to it? Do you try to hit those really high notes that she likes? Exactly. Only when you're alone
I do.
In your car.
Oh, when am I alone in the car? Let's just dive into my mental health issues. But right? I do try to sing it.
Yes. I mean, you feel like compelled to.
Absolutely. You
None
do.
Of us hit it but her.
Oh, no, no. I get nowhere close. So, but it's incredible.
There you go. Cranberries.
One that's coming to mind for me, it might be like American Irish or something, is Flogging Molly.
Oh, I totally forgot about them. Yes, absolutely. They are adorable and hardcore.
Good drinking music.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Flogging Molly. Sweet. Lori, what about you?
Well, you stole a bunch of mine, too.
Oh, sorry. Maybe it's bad I have a list.
Inya.
Okay, we can all share.
Yes, there you go. Yes,
here's
totally.
My story. When I was giving birth to my daughter, we played one of Inya's albums, Shepherd Moons, on a loop.
Oh, that's a good way to bring a baby into the world. Mm-hmm. I dig that. That's a good vibe.
Love the Cranberries and Dolores O'Riordan. Rest in peace, Dolores.
Yes, thank you.
The Pogues and Shane McGowan, also rest in peace.
Yeah. Yes,
it's been a tough couple of years here.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for the Irish musicians. Oh my goodness, yes.
And I don't know if you knew, but let's see, the Enya was in Clannad.
Yes, yes. Yeah, my husband tries to tell me every time because I'll listen to an Enya song. He's like, "You should listen to Clannad, isn't it?" Her like her brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
And, and I'm like, "Yeah, no, cool. I'm just gonna listen to Enya." This is very true. Yeah.
And then one more I had was the Waterboys. They actually were tied in with my gal, as a matter of fact. So she knew some of them. So
nice.
And then you two, of course.
I love you two and Van Morrison. Lately I've just gotten like soured to them or just over it. You know what I mean?
It does get overplayed sometimes, yeah.
But yes, you two and Van Morrison are totally worth mentioning in the Irish sphere of music sort of thing. So yeah.
Speaking of spheres influence. And Irish and you two playing at the Sphere in Las Vegas, there's no way you're gonna get me there because I've got vertigo.
Oh yeah. Right, exactly.
Which is also one of their songs.
I was about to say. Didn't they also do a song about that?
Yes, they did. Yes.
So then they should understand.
Yes. They get it.
It's very true. So who do you have for us?
Well, I've got another Irish musician.
Yay!
Sinead O'Connor.
Yay!
Sinead Marie Bernadette O'Connor.
She's got the Bernadette in her name. Yeah. Oh, yep. My goodness.
Tie into that rebellion.
Mm-hmm. I like
it. She was born December 8th, 1966. And this is kind of why I'm into her, is because I was born just a few days after that.
Oh, look at that. That kinship of birthdays.
Almost exactly contemporaries.
Beautiful. That's a good way to start it.
And something that I didn't know, and I found this when I was researching, the doctor who supervised her delivery in Dublin, she was born in Dublin, his name was Eamon de Valera Jr., and his father was the president of Ireland.
What?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was a revolutionary leader and Irish president, but then he was later found to have illegally taken babies from young mothers and given them to childless couples.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So Sinead kind of just escaped that? Oh, no, that was the father, not the, the doctor.
Yeah. Right, yeah, okay, got it. Yeah, the doctor was the son of him. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a stretch to see where he might be getting his babies? Come on. I shouldn't say that. Redacted.
And I think everybody made a big deal about Sinead's name. Like, oh, that's so weird, you know, but she was named for her doctor's mother, who was Sinead de Valera. And she was the author of 31 children's books.
Oh, very cute.
Which I think
cute.
Is super cool, you
yes,
know?
Yes, exactly. Especially being in a library and just life in general. Yeah.
And another tie-in, she is the third of five children, Sinead. And her brother is novelist Joseph O'Connor.
Oh, look at that.
And he wrote a book called Star of the Sea that was an international bestseller.
Gotcha.
So look very gifted. That.
There's a lot of literariness in the family, then.
Yes, a whole lot. Yeah. Her father was John Oliver Sean O'Connor. He was a structural engineer and then later was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And her mother was Johanna Marie O'Grady, and she went by Marie. Aww. And she regularly beat Sinead, and it's well documented. Aww. And her brother corroborates it that it did, and it was just brutal. And
was
also,
it just her or all of the children?
All of them, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
and
gotcha.
One of the stories is that when they'd come home from boarding school, they'd make sure that they left their hockey sticks at school, so
it didn't become a weapon against them.
Couldn't beat them with them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness gracious, yeah.
So that's kind of, you know. Kind of rough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Also, her mother taught her to steal from the collection plate.
No. Oh.
And also from charity tins.
So. Oh,
so what is she getting beaten for then?
Right. Just for being her mother. I don't know.
Maybe just for not
where's
listening
the bar?
To her mother.
Didn't
yeah.
Have a good grip.
It sounds like it might be some loosey goosey on the rules there for moms. Yeah.
Yeah. She was beating her just because of who she was. I think, you know,
right.
And just the whole. Sinead blames some of that on the Catholic Church, I think. Some of the guilt and all that. So
fair enough.
Right? Yeah. So as a result of her her theft and her truancy from school, she was sent to one of the Magdalene asylums.
Oh my gosh!
Which you may have heard about. I've seen some movies, I think, about them where they sent wayward young women and also pregnant young women.
Yes. Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yes. Oh, yeah, gotcha. So it's not the juvenile court system sort of thing or the poverty housing. It's the one for wayward girls sort of thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And a lot of the people there were, you know, young mothers, and they would take their children away from them and give them to other people, you know, and she saw that. She witnessed that with one of her friends, and that really traumatized her.
Aww.
And one time she was punished by being sent to sleep in the hospice part of the facility, and she said it was just the worst thing ever.
People dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, very, very traumatized by that. However, they did sort of, there was someone there who sort of encouraged her music and her writing and bought her a guitar. And so it really helped her along on that.
A kind of a shining light in a very dark place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So by 1984, she had formed a band.
Yay. It's a good year to do it, too. Sorry, it's another literary reference I just put in there. 1984. Can't even help myself.
And she was signed to a label and got a manager and was all. The first thing she was hired to do is to co-write a song with Edge from U2.
Oh my gosh.
It was a charity single of some kind, I think. So
that's a good gig.
Pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, she's living in Dublin in an area called Crown Alley. And downstairs was a restaurant called the Badass Cafe. And she was working there as a waitress.
Sweet.
Of course she was.
unbeknownst to me. And she laughed about it in her book. She was like, they made us all wear t-shirts that said, what did they say? A nice pizza ass.
Nice pizza ass. I got it. Nice.
However, if you'll see, I brought the menu.
It's right behind Katie.
Yeah. I visited there when I was in college. Oh. Just about the same time, but not exactly the same time. So I don't think Sinead
was still there.
Waited on me.
Yeah. But right. Exactly. Yes.
But so you'll see their mascot was a donkey. So
yes.
That's the ass.
He's an ass. Right?
He's the ass.
He's a piece of ass. And it's a pizza place. I love that.
Yeah. Nice. So she left her job at the Badass Cafe and left Ireland around 1985, early 1986 maybe, and she got on a plane. And it was a plane where they had the seats faced each other kind of thing, you know, like they used to have, like Southwest used to do that some. And sitting across from her was Pete Townsend.
No way.
Yes.
Mr. Windmill himself?
Yeah, yeah. So she nice. Said, okay, I'm going to focus on him and I'm not going to look back.
Yeah, yeah.
So
off neat.
She went.
Look at that. She just has this wonderful way of just running into really established musicians. Mm-hmm. It's a good magnetism to have.
Mm-hmm. So her record company was trying to coach her on her image, and they said, oh, you need to wear jewelry and boots and short skirts and look more like a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided she was going to shave her head.
Yes.
Nice.
What you
in
do.
Defiance.
Yeah. You know? Tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do the opposite.
So she found a barber that was real close to her record label and went in there and told him what she wanted him to do. And he was absolutely horrified.
Right.
He said, please don't make me do it.
Oh,
and, my and gosh. He was Greek. And so he didn't speak really good English. So they were trying to communicate with one another. And he kept saying, what will your father say?
Oh.
What will your brother say? What will your boyfriend say?
What will the men in your life think of you that you're not pretty if you don't have hair?
Yes. Yes.
This is the point.
So she says, I convinced him I was the sole author of my own destiny, despite being female.
Nice. Yes.
And he shaved her head. And then she went right to a record label and they threw a fit and they said, why did you do it? And she said, well, I wanted to be myself. And her manager was like, why couldn't you be yourself with hair?
Right. I mean, that is a fair question. But why can't
she's
you
the master of her own
hair?
Destiny. I that's know. Why.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very yeah. true.
And I read an article in Time magazine where they were kind of likening this to the whole, you know, 1920s when women cut their hair short.
Yeah.
And, you know, they said mm-hmm. that it was, there was a lady, an actress named Mary Gordon, who in 1927 said, I consider getting rid of my long hair as one of the many little shackles that women have cast aside in their passage to freedom.
Very much yeah. so. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Britney Spears shaved her head in 2007.
Yes. It didn't work out as well for her.
Leave Britney alone!
But I could totally see it also with Britney mm-hmm. and with a lot of women where when it's everything about your hair, and she even talked about how everybody was always touching her hair. They were putting extensions in it and they were fixing it. And it was just everything was like pulling on her hair all the time. Yeah. That idea of just cutting it off and nobody touched me. Mm-hmm. I really, you know, I found it extremely empowering. And so I always love Sinead's, you know, baldness and defiance in that respect.
I wanted to talk a little bit about her music at this point then. She
totally.
Had this otherworldly, ethereal voice that could she could go from being sweet to being absolutely terrifying, you know?
Yes.
And just otherworldly, you know, like an angel.
Yeah.
And she said her influencers were Bob Dylan,
yep.
David Bowie. Susie and the Banshees.
Oh, yes.
The Pretenders. Chrissy Hynde, the
Pretenders. Yeah, Chrissy Hynde, totally. Mm-hmm.
She ended up releasing 10 albums and sold 6.2 million records.
I had no idea it was that many albums,
yeah,
actually,
she just
to tell
kept
you the
going.
Truth.
You know, yeah, even though, nice. And that's something I'll talk about a little later, that, you know, we thought that she just kind of disappeared and went away, but she didn't. She just kept making music, you know,
nice.
And it's fantastic, and we just didn't know about it, so.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So a single from her second album, mm-hmm. Nothing Compares to You.
Love it!
Amazing. Just amazing. You know, Prince wrote that song.
Yeah, and it was like a B-side. It was like a throwaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she just completely made it her own.
Yes.
She got 4 Grammy nominations for that song and won for Best Alternative Music Performance in 1990.
Yes.
She also hit #1 on the Billboard charts.
Mm-hmm. I sang that song many a times. Totally out of tune.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Love that song. And I even went, like, I didn't know until the Grammys when she thanked Prince that I went, why is she thanking Prince? And then I learned that he originally did the song and wrote the song. And I was like, whoa, what? So then I listened to his version, which is great. It's Prince. Mm-hmm. Her version is so much better.
So much better.
There's just so much more nuance and feeling and depth to it. She really made it her own
she
on
really
that
did.
Song. I love it.
And speaking of Prince, there was an anecdote, and it's in her book. And actually, I'm reading her book right now.
Sweet.
Nice. Rememberings.
Nice.
But I'm not quite there yet. But I did.
It happens many times on the podcast. We're like, so we haven't finished the book yet.
But it's really good.
Exactly.
But according to her, in this book, Prince demanded that she visit him at his home.
That sounds about right.
And he called her on the carpet for swearing in interviews.
Oh. Ooh. Was he just new to his Jehovah's Witnessness?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. It had to be after 19... 90 or so.
Yep,
so
just yeah. new to it. Yeah, yep. He got real into it. Anyway, yeah.
Yep, so she told him to fuck off.
Good. Nice. As you should.
The appropriate response.
Later, he would probably respect it. At the moment, maybe not so
maybe
much.
Not.
But what else?
In the moment, then, he became violent. He wanted to have a pillow fight, and then he put something heavy in the pillow and hit her with it, and she fled. And
good.
That was that.
He's a weird little man.
Yeah. Just oh my goodness. I mean, did her pillow have bricks in it too, or was it a really
fighting,
one-sided pillow
you're
fight?
Fighting Prince, he's like 4 feet tall. I mean, like, the pillow could whiff him over. I mean, like, you don't need to bring bricks to a Prince fight. I'm just saying. But apparently,
that needs
do.
To be a sticker.
Bricks to a Prince fight.
Yeah, you don't need to bring bricks to a Prince fight.
I always love a good Prince story, and I didn't know that one.
I didn't
so
either.
Oh, I dig that. That's great.
Because, you know, he did that with people. Like, he had, was it Charlie Murphy?
Murphy! Go. And the waffles in the basketball
yes.
game.
Yeah, yeah.
The Prince story, oh my gosh, they're just absolutely out of this world. Like, what? That's, yeah, that's a Prince story. If it doesn't make sense, it didn't really happen.
I feel like, isn't that like a Dave Chappelle skit?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Charlie Murphy. And I think Dave Chappelle was playing Prince at the time. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Meanwhile, she was also a mother. She had various nice. Relationships, and I haven't even written down the names of all the different people she was involved with. But she had four children.
Gotcha.
I think with four different fathers, I think.
Gotcha.
She had Jake in 1987, pretty mm-hmm. early in her career. She had Brigidine Rosen in 1996. She had Shane in 2004, and sadly, he passed away in 2022. He died by suicide.
No.
I remember when that happened.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then she had another son, Yeshua, who was born in 2006.
Oh, gotcha.
So she had lots of kids.
Look at that. Babies.
But the thing she's probably best known for is the Saturday Night Live episode.
Yeah, with the Pope. Oh, yes.
Yes, and this occurred on October 3rd, 1992, and I'm pretty sure I was watching. Mm-hmm. In protest against the Catholic Church, she tore up a photo of Pope John Paul II that mm-hmm. she took from the wall of her mother's bedroom.
Ooh.
So symbolic, very symbolic.
So she's also kind of mad at her mom probably at
yeah.
the same time.
Yeah.
I like it.
So she said, fight the real enemy, is what she said. And she was mad at the Catholic Church for... She said it caused the abuse from her mother. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of genocide she thought that they inspired, and also
yep.
covering up child sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was kind of starting to be percolating through. It wasn't mm-hmm. at the height of it, but mm-hmm. yeah, it broke through, yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you could say maybe she's the one who brought it to light.
I would give her that credit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It was 9 more years later before the Pope publicly acknowledged the sexual abuse in the church,
but
he did finally, 9 years later.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Sinead faced quite a bit of backlash.
Yeah,
for
she
this.
Did.
They sort of canceled her. Frank Sinatra said he wanted to kick her in the ass.
I remember that. And I'm like, Frank, who cares what you think about this right now? But anyway, that was just me.
And that was ironic because I think he was one of the people that her mother listened to.
Right.
You know, so...
Mm. Yeah, never meet your role models, right?
Right. Yeah. So she said she didn't regret what she did. She said it's more important to her to be a protest singer than a pop star.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So she was voted the most influential woman of 1992 by Time Magazine because of that.
Look at that.
Yeah,
it's powerful.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She had a lot of challenges, though. Health challenges, mental health challenges. She had fibromyalgia and suffered from that.
That can suck.
She said she was she had bipolar,
gotcha,
and also borderline personality disorder. Mm-hmm. She attempted suicide at one point and had a complete breakdown from sometime like at the end of 2011, beginning of 2012, I think.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
So like she would make the news occasionally, you know, like oh no, what has Sinead done now? You know,
any kind of drama, right?
Yeah. Anything, yeah, that cast her in a bad light. But she just kept making her music, you know. And then in 2021, she wrote this book. And
sweet.
It's fantastic. Her voice is so lyrical, and it's self-deprecating. It's funny.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, nice.
So,
what's it called?
It's called Rememberings.
Rememberings. Okay.
And when I get done reading it, I will donate it to the library.
Oh, yes, Lori. Thank you. I'm like, otherwise, I'm going to be putting it on a wish list.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Unfortunately, she passed away on July 26, 2023.
Yeah.
Just a few months ago.
Right.
The official cause was natural causes.
Okay.
But
okay.
There was the thought that it was probably from a broken heart because of her son's death.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, there you go. So, yep. Totally fair.
Very, very sad, though.
Yeah. But her music lives on.
It does. And there's so much of it more that I have not discovered yet, but I'm really going to dig into it.
Did she change record labels like throughout here and there or kind of?
Possibly. Okay. I don't know.
I was wondering if that's.
Because the person was Ensign Records, and I don't think that that's who she did her second album with.
So. And Ensign Records might even not exist anymore. I don't know. Record companies also come and go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So nice.
So, yeah, that's my gal.
Yes. Mm. Oh, that's lovely. And lyrical. Look at that. So especially like, you know, that the core song that we probably have at the center point, even if it's not like our way we came into knowing about Sinead O'Connor, or, you know, that finding that hopeness and sadness, it really kind of, you know, is that core element of her being, of finding some kind of beauty in it and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I dig it. Any Sinead O'Connor memories or your connections with you two?
I have to say I've never known very much about Sinead other than those big splashy headline getters. So I really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really great stories. Very interesting. And I think it's pretty inspirational how she's always stayed true to herself.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that would be really hard in the face of record labels and expectations and
being a woman in
being
society.
Locked up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But definitely stayed true to herself.
Yeah, this is very true.
I was looking at her albums. One's called Universal Mother.
I like it. Like
Born of Many Mothers kind of thing.
Born of Many Mothers method.
I look like the last one is I'm Not Bossy, I'm the Boss.
Yeah.
Just very like Queen Bee energy.
I like that. That is perfect. I'm looking forward to checking more of them out. That'll be really fun. Well, did you want to wrap us up with the glorious episode close?
Well, that wraps it up for us this week. Join us next week as another Irish gal is picked to share as Gal's Guide podcast continues. Thanks for listening.
Want to learn about more women of history? Gal's Guide opened a unique women's history lending library. Come visit and explore our collection. Learn more at galsguide.org. Thanks for listening.